Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is proudly sponsored by the great folks over at touringplans.com. It is spring break time down at Walt Disney World and out in California at the Disneyland Resort. And if you're a Disney fan, you know what that means. Large crowds and long lines. Hey, no worries. If you're heading down to Walt Disney World or Disneyland over these crazy times, and let's face it, it's going to keep going right into summer, just grab that premium subscription to touringplans.com and you're going to have a little bit of insurance against those lines because you'll have up-to-the-minute information right there on your smartphone to help steer you in the right direction. A premium subscription to touringplans.com can save you up to 4 hours in line each day of your Disney vacation, and that leaves time for lots of fun and a little bit of relaxation. And after all, isn't that what vacation is supposed to be about? Check them out today, and it's one of the best things you can do for your next Disney vacation. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 835 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Wishing you a great week and a happy Monday. Thank you so much for checking in with us here on the podcast. We're going to do the best we can to make this a great start to your week by taking another trip, virtually, of course, down to Walt Disney World with one of our great friends of the show. And we're going to talk about a very, very unique trip. I doubt anybody out there, other than maybe Sarah McGovern from Running at Disney, has even considered taking a trip like this. So it's going to be very interesting. But I have my good friend Jeff Richardson from down in South Carolina joining us today. Hey, welcome to the show, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mike. It's awesome to be on your show.
Oh, man, glad to have you. And, we've been going back and forth talking about this one. And, we kind of have quite a queue to get the shows out there. And, I wish there was more I could do about that. But we're not going more than 3 shows a week. I can tell you that because I like to actually be able to see my family every once in a while. But this one I've been really looking forward to because, we're going to get into where you stayed, when you went and all that stuff. But kind of just let everybody know the focus of this trip because you contacted me and I was like, okay, I want to learn more about this. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, you were really helpful getting everything set up for this one, Mike, so I have a huge thank you for you on that one. But this was all about the Disney Fit Challenge that happened back in September of 2014.
Okay, well, I appreciate the kind words. Thank you, and I appreciate that support that helps us keep the podcast on the air, so that's very kind of you. And so let's get into this. So it was in the fall. You headed down to Walt Disney World, and it's this Fit Challenge. So talk to us about what that means, and then kind of maybe tell us your path to having the competition down at Walt Disney World.
Yeah, so the Fit Challenge was actually, it was a fitness event. It took place over a weekend. I think it was the 27th and 28th of September 2014. And it was held at the ESPN Wide World of Sports there on Disney property. And it was really awesome. It was basically a CrossFit event for people to get together, and they could test their skills, their strength, their power, their endurance, all those things that are kind of involved in CrossFit. And if you're not familiar with CrossFit, CrossFit is a relatively new exercise methodology. It's all about constantly varied, high-intensive workouts. But the really cool thing about this event, this Disney Fit Challenge that happened, late last year, was that it was open to everybody. There were all kinds of divisions for the novices, for people that were scaled, which means they didn't quite have as much weight on the bar as other people. Then they had all the way up to like very elite of elite people that were there too. It was really fun to watch those guys. And then if you wanted to compete as a team, you could compete as a team as well. So it was really wide open. You could do really whatever you wanted to. If you were brand new to the sport, you could start off really simple. But if you're a little bit more advanced, you could find your level.
This gets me excited because we all know that Disney has, over the past decade and even more than that, they've really tried to take these times, like you said, like late September, and fill them with events. And we know that Run Disney has flourished. I mean, it is definitely quite the phenomenon, and it gets a lot of people down there for those race weekends. And you have cheerleading competitions. Pop Warner fills the resorts up. So this is another thing. And I can tell you personally that back in the day, in the early to mid-90s, when I used to be an inline speed skater and travel around the country doing that, we had a race at Universal Studios. Now, I was injured at the time, so I didn't get to run there. But, they actually ran an inline race where you did about 8 or 9 laps around the theme park. you know, I think it's neat when places like Universal and even Disney reach out to these burgeoning sports, you know, that are really kind of on the edge there to draw people in. Because I think that, you know, if I was there, I'd have a natural curiosity to just drop by and check it out and maybe see, because Wide World of Sports has great facilities, and I think I'd be really impressed.
It was almost like they read my mind. I you know, back maybe this time last year, probably early 2014, I was talking to my son, and I have done some Disney races in my past, and I told my son, you know what would be really cool for Disney to do? It would be really cool if Disney put on a CrossFit competition, because they would do it so well. So my history kind of goes back to starting at the 2012 marathon weekend. I did the half marathon. It was actually my very first half marathon ever. I'd done some 5Ks before that. And then I saw, you know, this opportunity to do the half marathon down there at Disney, and it was awesome. Wow. I mean, when they do the runs, they do them wonderfully. The entertainment alongside the course, the water stations, the announcers, I mean, everything about them, it's top notch. The very next year, I had to step it up a notch, and I actually signed up. I told people I was signing up for the marathon in 2013. But I actually secretly signed up for the Goofy. And the reason why I was doing this is because, like, I don't even know if I can do this. Do a half and then a full right afterwards? This is crazy. But I did, and I trained for it. And I went and did that, and I accomplished that. And it was awesome. My wife got to go with me. It was a couples weekend there in January of 2013. First time we'd ever been to Disney together as a couple without the kids. And of course, there were times that we missed the kids. We would love to have had them there, but we really enjoyed it as a way to kind of get away and spend some time together. And of course, you know, run some races while we're at it. And that was fun. But I'll tell you what, the way that I really actually got into CrossFit was when I was training for that race, that marathon in 2013, I would run on a trail here in Greenville. It's called the Swamp Rabbit Trail. It's a pretty popular trail for runners and walkers and bicyclists. And on those long runs on the weekend, I would run by this place that was a CrossFit gym. It was a CrossFit box. And I had no idea what CrossFit even was back then. Sometimes they would have the doors open. You could peek inside. You could see all these people lifting weights and doing pull-ups and swinging kettlebells. And they were playing loud music. And you're like, oh, my gosh, what are you doing? They're kind of crazy, and they all kind of look superhuman at times too. I was like, oh my gosh, I am not at all like that. But after I finished the marathon, I was talking to my doctor, and my doctor said, hey, it's great that you're running, but you really need to be thinking about doing some exercises where you build muscle, where you're doing, you know, short bursts, like 20 minutes, 30 minutes of some intense, you know, maybe weightlifting, things like that. And I said, what do you mean? You're talking like CrossFit? And he said, yeah, give that a try and see if you like it. And so it was maybe just a few weeks after that, I walked into that same CrossFit facility that I'd run past so many times, and I gave it a try, and I've actually been doing it ever since, and I've really enjoyed it.
Interesting. It's very interesting how, you know, you just happen to pass by somewhere, and you get a little curiosity, and all of a sudden you're drawn in. Same thing with me. You know, I heard a podcast like, hey, I might want to try that running thing, and you know, like I said on a show a couple of weeks ago, you know, that's thousands and thousands of dollars later and many hundreds of miles on the pavement later. But, you know, I think it's a good thing. You know, I tell people there's a lot worse habits I could have.
Oh, yeah. It's so enjoyable. And you know, you see people, and sometimes they are doing like superhuman type things. I mean, they're doing crazy things in CrossFit, like handstand pushups and really, really like heavy cleans and jerks or deadlifts or things like that. And you think, oh my gosh, there's no way I could ever do that. And that's fine. It's great. You can start off as scaled as you need to be. I mean, we use bands for pull-ups for brand new folks. And heck, I even use bands for probably the first year that I did CrossFit, just to make myself be able to do a pull-up. So it's really perfect for everybody. It works at any level.
All right, so let's talk just one more thing about the CrossFit, then we'll kind of get into like what it's like to tour when you're down there for something as physically demanding as this weekend was. And what I'm curious about is, you know, you're over at Wide World of Sports, and we know the facilities are beautiful there, and they have facilities really for just about any sport, any event they could host. But what's it look like during the competition? So when I think of CrossFit, I think of like the big tires and like lots of weights and bars and stuff like that. So where did they have it set up, and what kind of things did you do?
Wow, so They used almost every square inch of the facilities down there. There were some events that took place inside the field house. There were some events that took place kind of directly behind it. I guess they're on the soccer fields. We're typically used as soccer fields. There's a circus tent nearby, and they actually had some events inside that circus tent. And then if you keep on going farther out beyond the soccer fields, there's a track there where they do a lot of track and field events normally, but they also had some of our events there too. What they did was when they announced this, they announced it back in March of 2014. They said, hey, we're going to have this first ever CrossFit competition at Disney World. And they welcomed you to sign up. And they said, what we're going to do is we're going to have it so that you're guaranteed to do 3 workouts on Friday or Saturday. You pick your day. And then if you're one of the top athletes after those 3 workouts, and whichever day that you pick, we'll ask you to come back on Sunday and do 2 more workouts to figure out, you know, the top placements, the first place, second place, third place. I knew I wasn't going to fit in any one of those places. That's fine. I just do this for fun, right? But what was really interesting was they changed it around about a month before the actual competition happened. They said, okay, we're going to scratch Friday off. We're not going to have anybody come out and do that on Friday. But instead, what we're going to do is we're going to have 3 workouts that you do on Saturday. And we're going to have 2 workouts that you're guaranteed to do on Sunday. And then if you're one of the top, I think the cutoff number was like 96. If you're one of the top 96 athletes in your division, then we'll invite you to do a final workout on Sunday afternoon. So you would get 6 workouts in. And so rather than going with just 3, they said, hey, you're going to get at least 5. And I don't know if that's necessarily good or not, but we certainly got our money's worth.
I hope you.
And it was really, really fun. But we did all kinds of things. The day started off on Saturday. And by the way, I'm going to tell you this from a perspective of a scaled men's, a single man's entry, and not as a team. I want to really stress that there were all kinds of things going on at this event. There were workouts happening almost every moment of the day. And even if you were like a scaled women's participant, you didn't necessarily do these same workouts that I'm about to share with you. So it was real. There was a huge variety of the different types of workouts. And then obviously, you know, if you were more on the recreational side, like a novice, the workouts were scaled down to that level. And then if you were elite or even RX, which is like the prescribed, like a typical level, they were even higher than what I'm about to describe. But the workout started Saturday morning. They had the national anthem. It kicked everything off at 8 a.m. And then we got right into the first workouts. The first workout started, I think, like at 8:15 on Saturday morning. And the first one that we had to do was called dumbbell hops. And it was 4 rounds for time. So in other words, you had to do this as fast as possible. And what it consisted of was 15 one-arm dumbbell and what they call ground overhead. The dumbbell weighed 35 pounds. So you basically had to pick it up off the ground and raise it up above your head 15 times. Then followed that by 8 hurdle hops. There was a parallette. It was like a little hurdle. It was about a foot and a half tall. And you had to basically jump side to side over this thing eight times. And then followed by what they had originally planned is what they called 12 toes to bar. So if you picture yourself kind of hanging from a bar and then reaching your toes up to touch the bar between your hands, you had to do that 12 times. They changed that one around a little bit because this actually took place outside. There was some dew on the rig and they were worried about safety. And they said, what we'd rather have you do instead is we'll let you grab the rings and only just do knees to elbows. So you're hanging from a pair of rings and you just lift your knees up so they touch their elbows. So it was a safer movement as opposed to maybe slipping off the bar with all that dew still on the rig. And then the very last thing was 12 pull-ups. And they really worked hard to put some tape on the rig to make sure that you had a good grip for your pull-ups. You do all that and then you just repeat it 3 more times. And then you're done with the first workout. And that was the very first one. What I found really interesting with this one, and I talked to the programmer actually later on, and this was true for actually all of them. All of the workouts had a time cap of 10 minutes. If you were a single participant, if you were a team, they all had time caps of 15 minutes. And then the other really, I guess, really interesting thing I found as far as teams go, teams would consist of either 3 men or 3 women. Normally, I've seen other CrossFit competitions where it's like, you know, a team of 4 or a team of 2, sometimes it's, you know, man and woman and makes up that team. This was a really interesting dynamic. It was either three guys or three girls that made up the team. And you could even have masters teams too. But that's how everything got started off. It started off with a bang. We hit it hard. And then after that, it was just try to, okay, cool down as best as possible because you've got another workout coming up in another couple of hours.
Man. So that is just, I mean, that's so intense. I mean, you mentioned the word intense earlier, and that totally is. Now, tell me that, you know, throughout the weekend, you were able to enjoy maybe a No Way Jose or something. I mean, it sounds like you need to put this stuff back in your body because you're burning it like nobody's business.
Yeah, no, obviously after the day was over, I made my way over to the parks a couple of times. I actually got to go over to Hollywood Studios one day after the events were all done. This was actually right around the same time when the Backlot Tour was having their very last runs, and I had a chance to even ride on the Backlot Tour. I talked to a couple of cast members about it. And they were all very sad that it was closing down. And I said, well, what are you going to do? And they said, they're going to be moving us to different spots inside Hollywood Studios. And some are actually even going to Magic Kingdom. But you can tell, they said, you know, this has been around since park opening. And they were sad to see it go. But I know everything has to change and everything is new, or, you know, has to be refreshed. And so I understand. But you're right. I mean, this does give you a chance to enjoy some of the other things that are available. I have to say, I went over to Magic Kingdom one day and I did get into the VR Guest restaurant, and I tried the gray stuff, and it was really delicious.
I bet anything's delicious after that workout. I'm just saying, you know, a piece of watermelon would be pretty delicious itself too. So let me ask you this though, because, you know, I've been down there for race weekends, and this sounds like it's even at a higher intensity, because I think there's a different kind of like calorie burn and hunger that builds up maybe from even a marathon, where you're out there for 4.5-5 hours of steady burn, where you're doing three intense workouts in a day. But also you have to take into consideration you're bouncing back the next day. So you're kind of in that recovery mode and, you know, keeping yourself fresh for the next day. So you mentioned you bounced around to the parks, but I mean, speaking with some of the other competitors and folks you met down there, what was kind of the strategy to make sure that you had fun at Disney? Because obviously that's why you're there. You can tell you're a Disney fan and you're not taking this, you know, like Olympics seriously. You're trying to do your best, but you're not going to sacrifice fun. So how did you have that balance during this weekend?
Wow. I guess, you know, during the actual competition, you know, I basically stayed at the ESPN Center there and really kind of hung out at the HP Fieldhouse. There were other events happening inside there, and it was air conditioned, so that was huge. So, you know, I would go do a workout and then I would come back and I would just try to relax. And I brought along a couple of like power bars, just to consume something, because you're right, you have to replenish. You've got to fuel. A big concern, of course, when you're running too, right? You've got to constantly be doing that. But also at the same time, you're working so hard, you don't really want a lot of things that are heavy, you know, on your stomach too. So I found that the power bars work really nicely. I brought some energy drinks too that I could utilize that would, you know, reload electrolytes. Because I thought that was really important as well. So, you know, maybe those are a couple of tips. You know, try to find the air conditioning spots when possible, because it was still actually really, even though it was late September, it's still really warm down there, very humid, of course. And then I guess the other thing would be too, there are athletes from all over the country at this thing. There were probably most of them from the Southeast, but literally they came from all over the country and probably even all over the world. There were hundreds of athletes at this event. They allowed you to have a specific area to set up a 10x10 canopy if you wanted to. And so I noticed that, like, a lot of locals or people that were in, you know, close enough where they could drive and they could bring materials with them, chairs, whatever else, coolers, they did that. And I thought that was a great idea. So just get out of the sun, relax a little bit, recoup, re-energize, and get ready for the next ride, because it's coming.
Very interesting. This is super interesting to me. Now, did they have kind of like an expo thing, or did they have some vendors there? Because it seems like that'd be a great tie-in, because you have all these people with like some downtime in between events.
They did, yeah. Actually, they did. There's a sidewalk that leads from that field house area out towards the track, and all up and down the sidewalk they had vendors there. A lot of the vendors that had sponsored the event itself, some were protein drink vendors, and others were t-shirt vendors, and just all kinds of things. So places where you could stop and you know, talk to those folks, buy merchandise. they even had Disney Fit merchandise that you could purchase from Disney itself. And of course, yeah, I had to get a little pin, so I got a little pin, got another T-shirt. When you registered and you picked up your swag bag, they gave you a T-shirt already too, so that was nice. But there was all kinds of opportunities for you to go explore. I also found this really interesting too. They had, even though I didn't have any rowing events that I participated in, there were other people that did participate in workouts where they did do rowing, and you row on a rowing machine that's called a Concept 2. Well, after the event was all over, they actually sold those Concept 2s. And you could get them for a really good bargain if you had a way to transport them back home. I didn't have a way. I flew down, so I couldn't do that. But the people that were driving, they got themselves a really nice bargain. One of them.
Come home with a rowing machine from Walt Disney World. Never heard of that. That's awesome, though. That's again, another level of uniqueness to this trip you can totally have there. So, let's kind of hit some of the you mentioned you went over and rode Backlot Express, I'm thinking food. The Backlot Tour at the end there before it closed. But any other highlights of being down there and, you know, outside of being over at Wide World of Sports? Because you're a Disney fan. What else did you do?
Oh, wow. So this was actually my first time solo there. And I'll tell you what, I enjoyed it. It wasn't the plan originally. The plan was to be something more like that weekend where my wife got to join me for the marathon weekend, earlier that year. But it just didn't work out that way. My wife got busy. She got tied into other things. She couldn't make it. So I was down there by myself. So it was a unique dynamic. It was the very first time I'd ever gone solo. I noticed that you can kind of do things at your own pace. You can kind of take things on that you want to do, and you're not really kind of, this may be probably not the right word, but not encumbered by other people. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, I missed being with her. I missed being with my family. Disney's always the place where I go with my family. But at the same time, I did enjoy it. I mentioned going over to Hollywood Studios. I did finish up on Sunday night at Epcot. Food and Wine was actually going on at that same time still. And so I walked by the American Pavilion, I think Hanson was playing on the stage there, which was kind of cool. And then I got a chance to try a couple pieces of food. You know, I feel like I paid for it. So Food and Wine, like I said, was still going on. I stopped by the booth where you could get like a little duck sandwich in China. Nice. That was actually, it was wonderful. And then this mango tea, and I'm sure there's a word for it, but it had like these little jelly bean kind of things in the bottom of it. I don't know how to describe it, but you would actually suck them up in your straw. Some of them would like explode in your mouth with flavor, and they're really delicious. And some of them you had to kind of chew on like jelly beans, but it was really, really good. And then I think I finished the night over in Morocco, and I got the chicken shawarma platter because I've always heard great things about it. And I like to be a little bit adventuresome, and that was adventuresome for me, trying different kinds of food. And I'll tell you what, that was probably one of the best meals I've ever had at Epcot, probably even at Disney. It was really, really, really nice. And finish it all off with some baklava, man, you're living.
You are living, man. You're taking care of it. That's good. And I feel exactly the same about when you're down there solo. It is kind of freeing because you don't have to worry about anything. You kind of go do what you want, but you're constantly bombarded with, oh, this would be so fun to share with my wife. And this would, you know, my daughter would love this. Your whole family, you're just like, oh, you know, you're always thinking, if only we could have this, you know. And it's like when you're with your family, sometimes you're like, we're moving so slow. You know, it's like, it's one of those things where I think the grass is always greener sometimes.
Understand. Yeah. And we do the same thing. When we were there for the marathon weekend, we would pick out things. We'd go, oh, yeah, our son would really like that, or our daughter would really like that. We're going to have to do that the next time that we're all down here together. And, you know, we've been back since, and so we've had those opportunities, but you're right. I absolutely understand.
All right, well, let me ask you this, because we have a few minutes left here. Now, where'd you stay, and do they have, because, like, during race weekends, big events, they, you know, have, like, host hotels. Did they do that over this weekend?
They really didn't. I took the opportunity to stay at Pop. I'd never been there before. And so I wanted to experience it. I stayed in the 80s section, and I think my room was right behind the big Sony Walkman. And it was really, really nice. It was actually really convenient to the parking lot. I had a rental car, So I could just run right down the rental car and drive over to ESPN whenever I needed to, or go, you know, anywhere on property or off, really relatively easy. And then what I really liked about it was I could walk across the bridge and I could go to Art of Animation, which I'd never seen before either. So there was one time I think I actually grabbed a meal in the restaurant there at Art of Animation. And it was really nice. That restaurant there that's on property at Art of Animation is actually nicer. I think they actually use like real silverware compared to the one at
Pot Century. Yeah, real plates too. I know, it's amazing.
Yeah, real plates. And the food, I'm not saying that the food was really, you know, bad at Pop, but the food at Art was really, really nice. And it seemed like a nicer atmosphere. I really enjoyed that. And then I walked around property afterwards. And that was another one of those things where, you know, I would look at something like the Cars Land section, and then I would think, oh my gosh, my son would just eat this up. I've got to show this to him next time we're all down together. So yeah, you're right. It was fun to explore and do new things. And I really enjoyed Pop. I mean, for, you know, economy level hotel, it's in a place to kind of lay your head at night. That's really all you can ask for.
It's got great proximity to Wide World of Sports, too.
It really does.
Okay, so as we wrap this show up, are they going to do this again? Is this something there's going to be a second annual competition, and are you going to go back for it?
Well, I was going to ask you that same question. I don't know. So they announced the first annual Disney Fit Challenge that took place in September of 2014. They announced it in March of 2014. So I'm actually hoping that they announce the second annual Disney Fit Challenge sometime in March, and I would love to go back. Absolutely love to go back.
That's awesome. And it'd be something cool to check out, even if you're not into it, because, you know, I think a lot of these things, like you mentioned, it just takes seeing, you know, something that you're unaware of, because again, you know, like running, it's a healthy thing to get into. I'm sure this is something that really could, you know, at the novice level, just get you moving and, you know, help you burn some calories and, you know, make a little bit of muscle and just kind of get moving. So I think that if you're down there on vacation, you know, hey, drop by for an hour and check out and see what it's all about, because I'm sure it, you know, at the very least, it's got to be quite entertaining to watch.
It's really fun to watch, and especially watch those people that are at the elite level and watch them just do things that just are amazing, absolutely amazing. Some of the weights that they can put up over their head, some of the movements that they can make, that you just, your jaw ends up on the floor just watching them.
Yeah, I would guess this would be announced probably on the Disney Sports Twitter account, you know, or something like that. So at Disney Sports is a good place to watch if you might be interested in looking for the second annual Fit Challenge. And Jeff, I appreciate you coming on and sharing this with our audience, because I learned a ton today, and I'm sure all of our listeners did as well. And congratulations, first of all, on that Goofy a couple years ago, and also on the Challenge weekend.
Yeah, thanks so much, Mike. I really enjoyed it.
All right. Well, don't forget today's episode brought to you by the great folks over at touringplans.com. And you know what? They don't have a touring plan for all the, you know, exercise and workouts you got to do down at the Fit Challenge, but they can get you around anything else. You know, they're only human. So check them out. They're over at touringplans.com. They're going to help you save up to 4 hours in line each day of your Disney vacation. And when you have that premium subscription on your phone and other people see you in the parks, they're like, you know, what's that? What's that all about? These people are going the other way. Well, you know, they look happy, and I'm standing here in a 90-minute wait for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. What's the difference? The difference is they have a premium subscription to touringplans.com, and you can get that very inexpensively. Check out all the great tools they offer you. They're over at touringplans.com. Please drop by Magical Mouse Radio this week. We have great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So as soon as the podcast ends, you still need your Disney fix. You know, we're not there 7 days a week. We're only there three. But Magical Mouse Radio is always there. So check it out today over at MagicalMouseRadio.com. The next Be Our Guest podcast live show comes your way on Sunday night, April 19th at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central. We'd love to have you be a part of the show. You can call in and speak with the crew, and we'll talk about whatever you like. Again, Sunday night, April 19th, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, right there at MagicalMouseRadio.com. Give us a follow on Twitter. We're at BeOurGuestMike. We're on Facebook at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And of course, join the friendliest forums on the internet at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. And if you wouldn't mind, drop by iTunes this week. We'd really, really appreciate it if you'd leave us a rating and a review over on iTunes. Helps us grow the show, and we appreciate those kind words that have come in over the past few weeks. Thank you so much for that. And, you know, we just thank you always for downloading the show and for being a part of the Be Our Guest podcast family. All right, we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your week. Thank you again for starting the week with us here on the podcast. We love you guys and hope you enjoyed today's show. So for Jeff, I'm Mike, wishing you a great week. Get out there and work hard, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.